Hello, this is Michael Novenson with Information Security Media Group. We're speaking today with Gaidar Magdanurov, president of Acronis, about cybersecurity and data protection. Good afternoon, Gaidar. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you. Want to start with a high-level question on the data protection market. Want to get a sense of what are you seeing in the world of database threats? What's new? What's different?
So what we see in the data protection market, or backup market, if you want to call it like that, is that, first of all the backup vendors have to respond to a security threat. So one of the things that happens quite often when attack is ongoing, the attackers will go after the backup. So they will just take away the last resort, the last measure, recover. So most of the data protection vendors, they implement some kind of immutable storage, immutable backups, two-factor authentication, and additional checks when somebody wants to remove or modify the backup. And also what we see is that most of the data protection vendors, they're trying to expose the API, so it is possible to integrate those solutions with the security solution so you can automate remediation.
Nowadays, how effective or ineffective are backups in terms of being able to recover post-ransomware? And to the extent that they fall short, what else do organizations need?
So I would say it depends on how the organization implements the backup policies. So if they actually have the immutable storage and immutable backups, if they have multiple copies, what's the frequency of those backups? So it really depends on the type of organization and how they are protecting the data. But I would say that with the proper way of setting up policies, backup is the best way to recover in case of ransomware attack. And now quite often we talk not about the ability to recover, but about the downtime. So if you have a backup and you're hit by ransomware, you can recover, you can get back business, but there are two issues with that. So first, it's time. So you just waste a lot of time. And in some businesses, some industries, it is just possible to spend a lot of time on recovery or you will have been lost. So a lot of organizations, they choose to use disaster recovery as an option. So when you have any kind of security incident, not only ransomware, you can fall back and you can recover within minutes, not within hours. So that's one thing. The second thing is that when you recover from a backup, if you were attacked or ransomed, because you have vulnerable systems or applications, you go back to the state where you were vulnerable. So you have to either shut down the network so threat actors don't have access to you anymore, or you need to do something more creative. In case of Acronis, what we do patching on recovery so you can get your system patched. And then if the vulnerability of the system was the reason it was penetrated, you'll be protected. So I would say those are two things that the organization should think on: how are they going to execute the recovery in case of a cyber incident, and also what will be the next steps. And just one last point I wanted to make about it is that backup, it's not only the tool to recover, it is also a tool for investigation. So it's important to use the tools that would allow you to create a copy of your data and, if possible, have the memory dumps for forensics. Because if you had an incident, you want to know what actually happened, how the threat got into your systems, but also what attackers were able to achieve. Quite often, a lot of CISOs, they forget about the forensic part because they see that their goal is to make sure that the organization either is not attacked, possible, but it's not experiencing downtime or being able to recover quickly. But it is as important as to recover is to understand what has actually happened, because they will be questioned about it.
You mentioned earlier in our conversation in terms of opening up APIs. What's the significance of that in terms of recovering from a ransomware attack?
It is important for every type of cyber incident to be able to recover quickly. So in nowadays, when attackers use AI and they can do massive scale attack and they can execute attacks rapidly, you want to be able to respond to those attacks. And basically, if you need human intervention one way or the other to initiate mediation time. So what a lot of companies are trying to achieve now is to integrate their security tools backup so they can cover. So let's say hit by ransomware, it was detected, the ransomware was blocked, and then what's next? If you're waiting for your backup administrator to start the recovery, time losing. So in most cases, you want to do the automated recovery. So just to give you an example, when we released our active protection against ransomware, it was back in the leaf, our goal was to minimize the downtime. So the way the technology worked is that we were using behavioral detection, looking at the modification of files and the behavior of the processes on the system. And if something was suspicious, we could block it and then automatically recover the data that the process modified. And we had three-step fallback. So we had local cache, we had local backup and cloud backup. So if something goes down, we still can recover. And our target was to make it almost invisible to the user. So if something happens, the recovery happens automatically and there's no downtime. And this is what people are looking for right now, because again, in many industries and many businesses, downtime is just not accepted.
And in terms of this interplay between backup and security, how do the two play off of each other, and what's the importance of integrations, whether they're first-party integrations or third-party integrations, in terms of speed of recovery?
I would say it is extremely important to have the integrations, but it's also important to understand what level of integration you have. So for instance, in case of Acronis, we call it native integration, because the backup and security is kind of one solution and kind of feed to each other. Backup enhances security, security enhances backup. And it allows us to do some unique things. So first of all, we can scan backups for malware. We can remove malware from backups. We can use backup as a secondary copy of data, so our detection algorithm can learn from the data patterns, the modification patterns over time, and understand what is suspicious, what's not suspicious. And things like that allow us to better detect attacks that are hard to detect on the live system, but also it allows us to recover to a clean state because we can remove malware from a backup or patching on recovery.
And I wanted to talk, you'd mentioned it earlier in terms of artificial intelligence. I know we're still relatively early into the Gen AI era, but how are you seeing it inform adversary activity, and how are you seeing it employed by the...
So let's say Gen AI helped to accelerate a lot of things that people used to think about, the ransomware attack or phishing. If you think about it, based on our statistics, close to 90% of all the breaches, they happen actually phishing. It's emails and some malicious website. Employees are being tricked to provide their credentials to some malicious website. So in the past, creating multiple websites, a custom employee would be very difficult. Time, you can write scripts, you can prepare content, but it takes a significant amount of time. Now using Gen AI, you can generate thousands and millions of websites, millions of emails, and you can base them on the content that you can receive from social media. So you basically can scan somebody's LinkedIn, Facebook, X, and based on that information, create very unique email that will go to a particular person, moment, send them to their website. And we see it's happening. We actually, and it may be interesting for your listeners, we see that people are kind of getting complacent when it comes to phishing emails, because they get used to the phishing email, something like poorly prepared with mistakes, badly presented. But the thing is, a lot of attackers now use that. They will send you 100 poorly formatted emails, so you get used to it. But then one email will be very well formatted, very, very well prepared, and that will be the email that will get you. So people do that. So with Gen AI, those type of attacks became available to everybody. So one of the things that we see happening now on the market is that there are fewer malware stains, fewer ransomware stains than it used to be. So they still appear, the new stains appear all the time, but the focus shifted towards delivery, small delivery of that ransomware. So what people do now, they can just reuse the same kind of tools over it in ways. And Gen AI helps here too. So that's kind of how bad people are using it. And in general, they use AI for everything, vulnerability discovery, for exfiltration of data, for writing malicious scripts, for everything, right? And the thing is, now when AI is used to attack, we need to use AI to protect and not react as fast. So what we are doing, so of course we're employing AI for detection, but also we employ AI to assist. So let's say when we talk about our XDR solution, what we realized is that majority of our partners using the solution, managed service providers, they don't have the security expertise. The majority of people that work there, they are IT professionals, but without deep security knowledge. So when they see all the traces and all the information about attack vectors, they may not have the knowledge to properly understand what's going on. So what we're doing there is we use Gen AI to create human readable explanation of what's going on, the advisories, and then use this interface where technician can actually chat with the system, and the system will help preparing the steps, remediation scripts if needed, and so on and so forth. So it's not only used for detection and remediation, but it's also used to augment abilities of the technicians, as well as educate technicians and help them to become more productive when.
In terms of Acronis XDR, I know you're rolling that out here in June. I want to get a sense of, obviously, XDR is a fairly mature market. You have a fair number of players there today. So a two-parter for you. First, why did you want to get into the XDR space at Acronis? And then secondly, what are you doing that's either new or different as compared to the incumbent space?
Okay, I will start with why. Why is because it is necessary. If you think about the modern infrastructure, the only way to have reliable protection is to have XDR solution. So you need to correlate events happening on the device, events happening on the network, events happening in the cloud server, because now everything integrated. And coming back to what I mentioned, that most of the attacks are happening through emails or websites, the most popular attack is that your company is getting a phishing email. One of the employees opened that email and puts their credentials at risk through Amazon's website. So then that or website or email or whatever, they download something, they compromise their account, and then they compromise their device. Then we can do with XDR, we can detect that malicious threat on the device based on the behavior of that malicious device. We can block it, but then we can trace it back. User that downloaded it, we can actually remove that phishing email from the accounts of all the other users, and also we can block that malicious URL that was in that email, and then we can also block the account of the user. So that's how we can quickly remediate the situation. So it's not only about defending the endpoint, but also defending the user account. So I would say it's just a necessity, like traditional antivirus. And I think we're at the stage where everybody's constantly under it, and the infrastructure is so diverse, especially when we talk about our partners and the service providers. They have customers that have very different infrastructure. They may have different operating systems, may have different applications, different versions. They're in different locations. The network have very different level of security. So it's really a diverse environment that is very difficult. And this is where we see partners who care about security of their customers. They deploy XDR and all in. So this is why, when we think about what is different when it comes to Acronis, I would say there are a few things that we had in mind when we were building this. So first of all, Acronis as the whole platform was designed for MSP. So it's built for multi-tenancy, for supporting multi-tenancy, built for the business model of MSP, so they can enable the particular capabilities, backup or endpoint, the machines or backup for cloud services like MS5, and then email or secure the endpoint and so on and so forth. And they will pay only for what they use. And all of those tools, they are in a single UI with a single agent, with a single policy. So it is easier for MSP technicians who have to work in a diverse environment to implement and maintain that solution. So that's one thing. It's like it's designed for MSPs, and it's kind of unique for the market because we build it from the scratch for MSPs. But the other part of it is that we build a solution for flexibility. So if you use Acronis, you don't have to use everything. You can use backup from Acronis, somebody else, or security from Acronis, backup from somebody else, or management from Acronis, and security and backup from somebody else. So you can choose the tools that you want, or you can choose the complete stack based on Acronis, or you can use Acronis as a platform. And we see more and more of our partners, what they do is they use Acronis as a platform to integrate the rest of the tool. And we build the whole platform. We have SDK that uses our API, so MSPs can integrate the other tools. And we have hundreds of integrations with different software vendors already. So MSPs can use Acronis as the basis for their technology stack, but they can mix and match whatever they want, and they can customize the way they want it. So it's really, really flexible. And the last thing that we have is the native integration. So our backup and security are natively integrated, and it's, again, a very unique thing because, and I mentioned that before, we can do some certain things that others cannot, because if you have just API-based integration between security and backup, you just can't look into the backup, or you cannot leverage that you haven't. That's what's...
Finally here, when it comes to data protection, what do you feel is the single biggest thing that customers and user organizations overlook?
Education of users. So in many organizations, it is kind of a formal responsibility of CISO to make sure that people are trained and people are certified on security. And quite often it just comes down to monthly or quarterly or maybe annual training where people just can click through, and that's it. And that's the huge issue, because most of the attacks that are happening because of users and block the access for everybody, but and they couldn't work, right? So the thing is, we have to constantly educate users and constantly run simulations. So it's not only about knowing that there is phishing. Everybody kind of knows. They need to understand that it is changing. There are different ways how you can be tricked. You have to verify different things. And now with Gen AI, you have this amazing text coming from cyber attack. Or you can have pictures or videos. Now, you know, the famous stories when somebody was tricked millions of dollars because they were invited to call with a fake UFO, right? So those type of things are happening. The threats are constantly evolving. So it's not only general information, but it should be practical. The users and the company should be in simulation, running phishing simulations, sending emails, verifying who's clicking, what are they doing. It's important. And the second thing, you have to educate your users on how you're going to deal with a cyber threat. So let's say if something's happening, you are under attack, so you were exposed, your account was hacked, data was, what are the next step? One thing is to have a policy written. The other step is actually make sure that you can execute and people know what they need to be doing when it happens. So I would say education is still the most overlooked component of cybersecurity.
Important stuff, Gaidar. Thank you so much here for the time.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Gaidar Magdanurov. He is the president of Acronis. For Information Security Media Group, Michael Novin.